Why do we gather for worship, especially on a day like today with the snow being the way that it is? Why not just stay home? Why come at all? And I think this is an important question for us to consider, especially in a day when so many people think that there is no need to come to church at all. I can be a Christian without ever going to church, and I don't get anything out of it when I go anyway. So why should I go? But God has given this time to us Christians for a reason. And we see the reason why in our Old Testament reading for today. Psalm 118 shows us that we gather together in worship as a response to what God has first done for us. So the whole psalm, Psalm 118, can be divided into three main parts. The first part being the first four verses, which we will call the call to worship. And the second part of this psalm, down to about halfway through, is the part giving lots of examples of things that God has done. And the last part of this psalm, the rest of it, is giving thanks and praise to God because of those things. So when we look at that first section, then, the first four verses of this psalm, there's one thing that sticks out like a sore thumb. His steadfast love endures forever. It's repeated four times in as many verses. That we should give thanks to the Lord because his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. This is the reason why we give thanks. This is the reason why we have come here today to join in worship. We have come to praise God because of his steadfast love. But what exactly does that mean? What is steadfast love? Well, that phrase, steadfast love, is actually a translation of a single word in the original Hebrew. And that word is chesed. But chesed is not an easy word to translate. It's one of those kinds of words that we just know what it means. It's kind of like if I were to ask you to define what love is. How would you define love? You might say, well, love is a feeling, the feeling I get. Well, that's part of it, certainly, but that's not all of it. Or I might say, love is the reason why I stick with this person, why we've been together for so long. Well, that's part of it too, but that's not the whole picture either. I might even say love is the reason why I do something I don't want to do for the sake of the other person. And that's also true, but again, it's not the whole picture. You can see how something like love is so hard for us to define. Words just kind of fail us. We're not really sure what to say. But we know what love is, and we know what love is not. And we can see it in action around us. Well, the word chesed is the same way. It can mean a lot of different things. It can mean steadfast love, just like we see in our reading for today, showing that God is consistent in his love towards us. It could also mean something like faithfulness, that God will not turn away from us, that he will be after us all the time. But it could also mean other things like loyalty, or mercy, or goodness, or favor, or even loving kindness. In fact, if you were to gather together five different translations of the Bible, I guarantee you all five of them will translate it in a different way. And you probably won't even find the same translation within the same Bible, because chesed means a lot of different things. But the one thing that ties them all together, Christians, is this idea of God being a God who keeps his promises. God is a God who will not abandon us. God is a God who never goes back on his word. It's just who he is. He would not be God if he did break his word. So when we come together to worship him because of his steadfast love, we are worshiping God because of who he is. In himself, and we give thanks to him because he is God. And just as we know somebody by the things that they do, so it is also with God. Chesed is more than what we say about God. It is also what he does. We can see it in his actions. This is the point of the second part of the psalm, beginning in verse 5, which says this: Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. And think of how many examples there are in the Bible, Christians, of God answering the cries of those who call to him. You have David, for example, as he was running away from Saul. He called on the Lord set him free. You have Jonah in the belly of the whale, calling out on the Lord. And the Lord answered and had the whale spit him out onto the land. You have Israel in slavery in Egypt, crying out to the Lord, and the Lord answered them by sending them Moses. They called to God, and God did not fail to answer them, because he is steadfast and true. And how many examples do we see in our own lives, Christians, of times when we called on the Lord, and the Lord answered us? Those times where maybe our lives were in danger for some reason, and we call out to the Lord, and the Lord brought us through. Or times when we weren't really sure how we were going to get through to tomorrow, and we called out to the Lord, and the Lord brought us through. We would not be here today if it were not for the mercies of God. That in itself is an excellent example of his steadfast love. Because as the psalm says, the Lord is on my side. Or more literally, the Lord is for me. Why should I be afraid? Because knowing what God has done in years gone by will help us to know what he's going to do in the years to come. God showed us his chesed then, his steadfast love. And he will continue to show it in the days to come. And this will be true, Christians, even in the very worst circumstances that we can imagine. Verse 10 of our reading says, All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. And the picture that the psalm uses here is like being surrounded in a battle, having enemies on every single side. It says that it's like being surrounded by a swarm of bees who are angry and threatening to sting us. It's like being surrounded by a fire on every side, a fire which threatens to overwhelm us. It's like even being pushed over so that we are falling, and they're threatening to destroy us. These are pictures of all of the things that we go through, Christians, all of the troubles, all of the turmoils of life. And if we did not have the Lord on our side, we would be destroyed. But in the name of the Lord, the psalm says, I cut them off. God does not let us fall because his steadfast love is true. It's like winning the battle, even though you're outnumbered 100-1. It's like a fire which burns itself out. It's as if God caught us as we were falling and lifted us up again, because he is faithful to his people. No disaster will ever destroy us. No hardship will ever cut us off from God. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, as Paul says in Romans. Not death, not sword, nothing will ever take us away from God. These things all show the steadfast love of God, and that in itself is worthy of our praise. So with these examples in mind, then, we come to the last part of the psalm, which begins around verse 19, which says, Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Now, in the time when this psalm was written, the gates of the Lord would have referred to the gates of the temple. The people of Israel would have gone uphill to go to the temple of the Lord so that they could give thanks to him for all that they have done. But it's still true for us too, because we also stand in the presence of God. And we have come with our praises and our prayers and our thanksgiving. God has done so much for us, and that's why we have come to worship him. I mean, if somebody did something for you, even just one time, that was good or kind, you would certainly be thankful for it. How much more so then, the Lord who has done so much, things that we aren't even aware of. I mean, if we knew even a fraction of the things that God does for us each and every day, we would never get up off the ground from giving thanks to him. He has done so much for us because he is steadfast and true. But there is one reason that sticks out above all others, a reason that our psalm shows us today, because this psalm is quoted in both of our gospel readings. And that same quotation is something that we use every single Sunday when we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And that comes in verse 26, which says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I mean, we were even just singing it just a moment ago. But that shows us that Jesus is the one who has come in the name of the Lord. Jesus is the best example that we have of his steadfast love. And we know that also because of another verse that's probably quoted even more often in the New Testament. Verse 22, which says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Jesus is that stone, rejected by those who claim to serve God. But he has become the cornerstone of our salvation. Jesus has set us free from the power of sin. Jesus died for us while we were still his enemies. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit so that we would be made Christians. Jesus has opened the way into heaven through his death on the cross. If we had no other reason to worship God, and that's impossible, I know, but still, if we had no other reason to worship God than this, all of eternity will not be enough to give thanks to him for what he has done in saving us through his Son. But that just leaves us with one more question, Christians. Why then should we gather together? Why can't we just do it at home? Why can't we praise God on our own and give thanks to him that way? Isn't that good enough? Well, we should give thanks on our own too, Christians. I mean, God gives us so many things each and every day, we don't have enough time in the day to give thanks for all of it. And see how many times this psalm also shows this. When it says things like, "I called on the Lord," or "I will not fear," or "the Lord is on my side." Yes, we should give thanks to him on our own. But notice how many times it also says things like "we" and "our." It is marvelous in our eyes that we praise you, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Because God is not just my Savior. God is our Savior. And God has not come just to save me as one person. He has come to save his people. And he has joined us together as one, Christians, in the body of Christ. This is why Paul says in Ephesians 4, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So why would we not rejoice as the one body? If God has shown mercy to you, that's worth giving thanks for. If God has shown mercy to another, that's worth giving thanks for. If God has shown mercy to all of us, that is worth giving thanks for. All of it deserves our praise. And in eternity, Christians, we will gather together as one to worship before the throne of God, giving him thanks and praise. And what we're doing here on Sunday morning, here in this place, right now, is a small taste of what that will be. God, in his mercy, has given us a foretaste of the feast to come as we gather here today to worship him. So this then, Christians, is why we gather. We gather to give thanks for all that God has done. We gather to lift up our voices in praise of him. And we gather because God is faithful to his promises, showing steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love him. Because God has done so much and will do so much for us in Jesus Christ, his Son. It's just as the psalm says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Let us pray. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, we bless you for all that you have done in your steadfast love. Receive our thanks on this day and in every day to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.